giving up all their free time to build beautiful mountains of bhoga for the pleasure of Krishna. Otherwise, what do? We spend that same time engaging in our own selfish pursuits in life. So that is why it is said Krishna sees how much you hold back. So how to improve means to give more of our time, more of our energy, to make Krishna's festival glorious. That means that same time you are sacrificing for your own selfish purposes. That's all.
I have one question. Two weeks back, you have given a Sunday class. Which you had given the story of King Bharata. But from that time onwards, the question is completely entering it. What I used to feel is King Bharata has left everything of his kingdom, and he had left everything of his family, wealth, and he joined as a MC, had gone into the forest and had done the meditation. Now after leaving everything, he got attached to it. Deer as such. And finally it so happened that his life, whatever the goal of his life was there, he was not able to attain that goal. He was attached to a deer. Although he left everything and he got an attachment. Now, when we compare to King Bharat, we people, we are just struggling here and there. We are halfway in the kingdom, halfway in the western world. And when King Bharat also cannot attain the goal, what are we as such?
This is a very good lesson to be learned. Who are you compared to King Bharat? Huh? What is the comparison between you and Maharaj Bharat?
No one compares.
And he went into the jungles of the Himalayas. He was living on the Gandaki River, that sacred river where Shalagram Shila is found. And he was living in seclusion. And he was constantly chanting the name of Krishna and constantly engaging in tapasya. And yet, he was illusioned by Maya in the form of a deer. And here we are. How much attached we are to this material world. He gave up his throne, he gave up his palace, he gave up his beautiful, chaste, faithful wife. He gave up everything. It is said that he left all his material pleasures and wealth just like a man leaves stool after putting it on the ground. He didn't even look back. Can you do like that? Can any of us do like that? Can you do like that? If you can do like that, then you can take care of it. But even a man millions of times more spiritually advanced and qualified than us could not maintain his Krishna consciousness on his own. Therefore, we absolutely need the mercy of Guru. It is said, mukam karoti vacha lam bhangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande sigurum dinataranam. When one has the mercy of Guru, even if he is a lame man, he can cross mountains. Even if he is a dumb man, he could speak beautiful poetry. Even if he is a blind man, he could see the most distant stars in the sky. But on our own, even if we are strong, learned, powerful, spiritually advanced, even the smallest animal like a deer can distract our attention away from the feet of God. You see, Bharat Maharaj, he was alone. He was taking his spiritual life in his own hands. Although he was a great soul. But a humble devotee who places his head at the feet of the spiritual master, the spiritual master takes him back home, back to Godhead. See, if Bharat Maharaj had his spiritual master and the association of devotees, they would have seen, you're getting attached to this deer, Bharat Maharaj. You're in Maya, right? Get out of this forest. Go travel and preach. Right? If he had a Guru Maharaj, he would not have allowed. If he had an association of advanced sadhus, they would not have allowed. But on our own, no matter how great we are, unless we're in the perfected state of prema bhakti, which he was very close but not quite, unless we're in that state at any moment, we can be bewildered by the temptations and allurements of Maya. So therefore, our going back to Godhead is not based on our greatness. Our going back to Godhead is based only on the mercy of Gurudev. And we are simply his humble servants. We don't have to be great tapasis like Bharat Maharaj. That is not what Krishna wants. Krishna wants humble servants. So if we're simply the humble servant of the spiritual master and accept the guidance of the spiritual master, then he will always protect us. He will always guide us. Krishna, through him, will bring us to the desired goal. Even though we are very unqualified and very small. So the lesson to be learned in this story, of course there are many lessons, but one great lesson is we should not, if someone so much better than us cannot do it by their own endeavor, what is our hope? This story, when we read it, we should feel utterly hopeless on our own. We should simply cling to the feet of Gurudev and put aside all of our own opinions. See, it was his opinion that he must take care of this deer. But if we simply humbly submit ourselves to the acharyas, then there's no danger. Do you understand? So this is the real, this is how we should see the story of Bharat Maharaj. When we read in the Bhagavatam, he was crying tears of ecstasy. His limbs were trembling. His hair was standing on end when he would think of Krishna and recite his name. Even a person of that position, on his own, was bewildered by Maya. So therefore, how much we are in dire need of the association of devotees, the guidance of Guru. Another thing we must learn from this story is how Krishna protects his devotees. Because although Bharat Maharaj was bewildered, because of his sincere devotion in the past, That bewilderment simply was meant for his ultimate purification. Krishna never betrays his devotee. Huh? He failed the test. But even though that failing of the test was a sign that there was some impurity, some deficiency. He may have been 99%, but there was 1% of something in there that was inclined to be attached. So even in the body of the deer, Krishna is so kind that as Paramatma, he gave him full intelligence of what his mistake was. And in his next life as Jad Bharat, he was utterly detached from anything of this world. Always immersed in the thought of Krishna. And he went back home, back to Godhead. It's very interesting. This story is found in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam. A person who was so great and so elevated, and at the time of death, he thought of a deer and he became a deer. And in the next chapter, in the next canto, the 6th canto, we read of Ajamiyo, who was just the opposite. He was the most sinful of all sinners. And at the time of death, he thought of Narayan. He was rescued. He was given a chance to go back to Godhead in this life. So we must understand that Krishna knows exactly what his devotee needs. He knows our position. But without the help of Gurudev, without the help of the association of devotees, it will take a very, very long, long time. To advance in spiritual life.
And then another question. As our movement says that the basic aim of advancement in spiritual life is two things as such. Chanting of the holy name and having an association of the saintly person. Now, this is my own experience is that chanting is whatever the prescribed rule that has been told, we just go on chanting, whatever that is. Regarding association of the saintly person, when we require the most the association, but we are so much engrossed with materialistic activities, or we are so much engrossed with all those people who are not at all, or atheistic, and we have to stay with them. So we feel that, okay, now it's time to be with the devotees, or it's time to be with the saintly person, so that I can have that we chant. So, but when we go, we don't get whatever we wanted. In that circumstances, what should we do so that we can definitely come back to the same attitude, the same mental status? Because it has been experienced that when we want it, at that time we don't get it.
When we want what?
When we want the association, we don't get at that time.
What you mean?
For example, suppose if I'm going in a business, or in that business I have to be a more atheistic person, I'm completely engrossed in atheistic people. At that time I feel that, oh, I require some spiritual, I require some saintly person's association, otherwise I will be completely going again into that field.
Or is it too?
I have lots of queries, lots of problems in materialistic world, which I wanted to get all the solved. So when I go to the temple, or when I go and meet those saintly persons, either they are very busy, or they are not available, or whatever I want from them, I am not able to get it. Now in that circumstances, I require the most, at that time I don't get it.
That circumstances,
what should I do?
Chant Hare Krishna. You have to examine your desire. Krishna, he is reciprocating through the devotees. The association of devotee means the association of the representatives of God. You have to accept with a humble and grateful heart the way in which Krishna decides to reciprocate with you. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarava Sastrikoi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarava Siddhihoi. Even one moment's association of a devotee can change one's life. It depends on the receptivity of our heart. Like Prabhupada, one time he was flying, it was to Singapore, I believe. And when he went to the Singapore customs, they would not allow him in because he was a Hindu. So he had to take another plane, and that plane stopped in Fiji. And he had to get out of the plane for, I think, 1 hour, and he met one man, and he preached to him. And that man's whole life changed. He ended up starting a temple following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds. He was a full devotee. He was always praying to see Prabhupada again. But because his heart was so grateful for that 1 hour's association, it changed his life. So we should associate with devotees as much as possible, as regularly as possible. It is necessary, especially living in a place like this. But we must approach the devotees in the quality that I am their servant. They are not my servant. Are we going to the temple thinking, what can I contribute to the temple? What service can I do? What can I offer? Or are we always going thinking, what will they give to me? Huh? They are always giving so much to us. But we can't always be thinking that every time, what will they do for me? When you go to the temple, if the association of devotees is readily available as you would like, then take it. But if everyone is too busy, what does that mean? That means they're all too busy serving. So help them in their service. Associate with them in that way. Huh? What service can I do? You're all serving Gopinath so much. Give me a broom, let me sweep the floor, I'm here. Huh? Let me help cook some prasad, I'm here. Huh? Take it as Krishna's arrangement. That the best, in other words, when you come to Gopinath's temple, you're in Gopinath's hands. You have to have that faith. He knows what's best for you. You do not know what's best. I do not know what's best for me. So when you go and you can reveal your mind to the devotees and associate with the devotees, that is very good. But if anybody is so busy serving, you should think, oh, Gopinath wants me to do some service today. I'm here, let me do some service. And you'll find if you render that service, Krishna will reciprocate you through that service, through the devotees in the form of devotional, in the form of united service, in such a way that he will fulfill all your desires. Huh? When you come to his temple, you have to be prepared to reciprocate according to his arrangement. What do you think? It's like President Kennedy used to say, ask not what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country. So it is very important that we have the guidance, the association of devotees. But we have that. That is there. But it's not that every time we come, the devotees are necessarily Krishna in the form of the devotees are going to be just serving our every need according to our conception. Sometimes Krishna has another plan, and his plan is always perfect. If you come to the temple and everyone's too busy for you, that's Krishna's perfect plan. Let me do some service. If they're so busy, let me associate with me with them by being busy. Huh? They have time to talk to me, let me associate with them by talking with them. In other words, you have to learn how to see Krishna's perfect plan in every situation and be grateful for that. Then you will benefit very, very nicely. Yes?
Association of devotee also we get by reading books written by devotee. Or it's my experience I have seen in the beginning when I came to Krishna consciousness, and some people are, some thoughts I'm having or some people are asking questions and I'm not able to reply. And maybe I'm reading some book, Prabhupada books or Krishna books, and I'm getting the answer of those questions, you know, which I'm having in my mind. So Krishna is revealing things sometimes. By that method also we get the association of devotee by reading books written by the devotee to Prabhupada.
Narottam Das Thakur has said, Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. We must have all four. We must have Lord Hari, who is coming in the form of his name. We must have Guru, who is giving us our connection to God by giving us instruction. We must have the Vaishnavas, the association of the devotees, who encourage, inspire, and reconfirm our convictions. And we must have the scripture, the Bhagavad Gita. Scripture. So we associate with... This is the four types of association that God has given us. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. And we can find the shelter of Krishna in any one, but it is necessary that we have all four. If any one of them are omitted, our spiritual life is incomplete. We must read the scriptures regularly. We must chant the holy name of the Lord regularly. We must associate with the Vaishnavas regularly. And we must, Hari Guru, we must serve the Guru regularly. If these four principles are taken care of in our life, then there will be no disturbance in our spiritual progress.
Maharaj, I will tell you. Majority of the people even here, or even they are initiated, or they are sitting for initiated, they may be chanting but they are not reading. They are not time to read. And then they may be having weekly meeting like this Friday or Sunday, but they are neither having association daily, nor the association with the books.
Well, there's two answers to this question. Srila Prabhupada in New York, he said, I have given the most precious energy of my life to write these books. Your gratitude and your love for me is that you read them and appreciate them. But that is essential. And what is he writing his books for? To inspire and spiritually strengthen the hearts of his disciples. If we do not reciprocate and study those books, then we are showing a lack of gratitude to his great sacrifice. And Srila Prabhupada, my God, he wrote over 60 volumes of books. He would give up all his sleeping to stay up all night, every night, just to write these books for us to read. He didn't write these books for us to put on our bookshelves. But then again, in New Vrindavan, one devotee wrote to Prabhupada that I'm working so hard. I go to both classes each day, morning and evening class, but I just have so much service, I just don't have time to read. Srila Prabhupada said, by coming to the class, that is none different than reading the books. Because if the person giving the class is repeating what is in my books, then there is no difference. And he explained that that in most of India, Prabhupada used to explain, people do not know how to read and write. But some of the most advanced devotees are people who do not know how to read and write, but they know how to hear. They're simply anxious to hear. And if they're hearing from the right source, there is a book Bhagavatam and there is the person Bhagavatam. There's no difference. Hearing from the person Bhagavatam or reading the book Bhagavatam is the same. But if you have the capacity to read, you should take advantage of the deep, deep sacrifice of these great acharyas who have put their realizations in these books. But factually, throughout the world, let us take Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But where did he get all his realization, all his love, and all his knowledge? From hearing the discourses of Raghunath Das Goswami. Similarly, Rupa Goswami wrote the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Where did he get all of his information? By hearing, when he was living in Prayag, Dasaswamedha Ghat, hearing the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada, all these great saints, they are telling us that if you have inclination to read, you must read and study carefully. Prabhupada used to say, if you have a philosophical mind, dovetail your inclination toward philosophy by scrutinizingly studying these books. But if you are just not inclined, if you just fall asleep as soon as you pick up a book, then you better be very, very eager and anxious to go to the Prabhachan and open your heart and open your ears and hear as hard as you can. Huh? Reading means hearing. Reading doesn't mean sleeping. Huh? Of course, some people sleep in class too. It's not a question of pravachan or reading. It's a question of hearing. The process is shravanam. You must hear. Hearing through the books, hearing through the personification of those books. What is essential is that we are regularly hearing. That is the most essential thing. Because you see, Mahaprabhu, it is true that devotees who have a capacity to read should utilize and study their Guru Maharaj's books. But many people just do not have that capacity to read. They do not have a capacity to stay awake and study. As far as I know, most people do not.
I can read the balance sheet of 200 companies and I am up to date what is going on throughout the world. But when it comes to books, I feel sleepy.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. People in Kali Yuga are balance sheet conscious, but philosophically people have very little propensity. They have very strong propensities for balance sheets. Right?
No offense.
I've seen devotees, when they're reading the newspaper, they're like this. And then they pick up a book. And what does that mean? It means they just don't have so much philosophical propensity. So, but if they're hearing a lecture, then they're hearing. The most important thing is that they are regular hearing. If you can read, you must read. You should read. But we should not think that if we do not have such a capacity, it's a disqualification for spiritual life. If you are hearing from the right source, then it is the same. Maharaj Parikshit did not read the Bhagavatam. He heard the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. And he was the perfect example of hearing. So, if you have the capacity, most people in this congregation are intelligent, educated people. If you have the capacity, you must accept all four principles. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. Hari means chanting the holy names, worshipping the Murti of Krishna. Guru means hearing from him, reading his books, serving his order. Vaishnava means the association, hearing the classes. And Bhagavad Gita means studying the Shastra.
Want to hear. It's like when you are here, people like to come and hear you. But when you are not here, then or once a week or once in 15 days, we are hearing. So now, hearing is only once a week or once in 15 days or once in month also one time. And secondly, there is no liking for studying, means reading Shastra. In that case, because I know myself, in the beginning I was not having at all interest in reading any book. But today, somehow or other, how to develop
interest for reading, because we are not having association. One lecture, Prabhupada said, tapasya means to read my books for 6 hours every day.
Tapasya.
Did you ever hear that lecture? It was a tape. The name of the tape was The Meaning of Tapasya. And Prabhupada said, the meaning of tapasya is to read my book 6 hours every day. So we should see that chanting the holy name is not a question of whether we like it, it is a tapasya. Reading the scripture is not a question of whether we like it, it is a tapasya. Following the four regulative principles, it is not a matter of whether we like to follow the principles, it is a tapasya. Human life is meant for tapasya. We have to see all these spiritual principles as tapasya. And we have to be willing to accept that tapasya if we want to advance in devotional service. So if you have the capacity to read, it is a tapasya that you read every day. But read. I remember when I was living at New Vrindavan in the early days, my God, we were only getting 4 hours sleep. We had to work. And there was no time to read. The only time you could read is if you ate prasad so fast that you'd finish before everyone else and then you'd go upstairs and start reading. The only time. And so tired. Tired that if you sit down to read, you just immediately go like this. What is it? There's a saying in America that when you study hard, you put your head in the books. New Vrindavan, we were very expert at putting our heads in the books. But we were very literal in this. So then what I started doing is I realized the only way I can read is, first of all, I have to finish my prasad really fast, and when I'm reading I have to walk with the book. And I have to walk as fast as I, not just walk slow. If I walk slow I'll bump face the floor fast with the book, and we'd have to read out loud. Because if we tried to read silently, falling asleep. And I learned more in those days in my reading than ever since. because I was so anxious to hear, I was so anxious to read, and I was performing such a tapasya to hear from those books. And Krishna reciprocates with the sacrifice, with the tapasya. He doesn't reciprocate with your intellectualization. Somebody could memorize a whole book and not understand any of it in the heart. Speaking is one thing, but actually in the heart, understanding, grasping. Right? If you can grasp one line, it's a great accomplishment in life. So that comes through sacrifice, that comes through tapasya. We have to approach all of our devotional activities as a sacrifice, as a tapasya. You have to be eager and anxious. You have to aspire in whatever we do in our Krishna consciousness. Not that we just take it for granted and say, all right, now I'm going to read. I have already read for 1 hour. I've done my... I'm grateful to my guru. She'd be going, my God, every word, one word of Bhagavatam, if I understand, can liberate me from the repetition of birth and death. So the tapasya is to just be eager, anxious, to understand the message of the great acharyas. If you approach reading in that way, then you will get great benefit. And if you approach class that way, you will get the same benefit. People who sit in the class, then they think, when will, my God, it's already 9 o'clock. The prasad is getting cold already. That is the way you approach the message of Krishna, then the Krishna will reciprocate by giving you cold prasad. But if you're thinking, what he is speaking is the words of the great acharyas. What he is speaking is the word of God. This is the urgent, dire need of my soul to hear, to assimilate, and to comprehend, and to live according to what he is saying. If you have that eagerness when you hear, if you have that eagerness when you read, then Krishna will reciprocate and give you the desired result. Representative Prabhupada. Whatever I have to give is what is theirs. And they are living through sound. And the sound vibration you are hearing from me is the sound vibration of the previous acharyas. What is inspiring you is not the physical, but it is the sound. Therefore, Vani, which is the sound vibration, the instruction, is far more important than Vapu, the physical association. So this is a test of our sincerity. When the sadhu leaves our company, the test of our sincerity is how much we continue our enthusiasm by remembering and repeating that sound vibration. The instruction is within your heart, whether we are here or not here. Correct? you have more of an opportunity to advance on a higher platform if you associate with the instruction than you are simply associating with the physical form. So therefore, this is an opportunity for great spiritual advancement. Just like, for instance, some of the best devotees of Srila Prabhupada I know, never met him. Never met him physically. If you look at his eldest disciples from 26 Second Avenue, 95% are not even engaged in devotional service, although they had such intimate physical presence. But some of the most wonderful devotees to this day who are dedicating their lives to his mission never even saw him. Simply by hearing him, by hearing those who were inspired by him, by reading his books, by remembering his instructions, they're serving, they're giving their lives. Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, they never even met Lord Chaitanya. But more than anyone else in the whole universe, they were giving their lives to serving his mission, because his instructions were always living within their hearts. So therefore, the separation from the guru, or separation from the sadhu, is a very, very special opportunity that Krishna gives us to take shelter of the sound vibration, their instruction, and live accordingly. When Srila Prabhupada left this world, we were thinking, all right, our spiritual lives are finished, he's gone. All we had left was his instructions. And those who are sincere made more advancement after he left than they did the whole time he was here. So for those who are sincere, they understand that the Vaishnav never leaves. He lives forever in sound. And we associate with that instruction.
Or associating with those people who are sincere. Suppose the question was, you are not here, then at that time you don't get so much inspired. It's not that. There are some people who are inspired. Who has taken the job, means they are ready to work, and means they are dedicating their life as per your instruction. But a particular person, I am not inspired until unless you are physically present here. And in that case, it is not that I take the association of those people who are inspired, and by their association, I also get inspired.
Of course, it is more important if we're concerned with how we can inspire others than concerned with always others inspiring us. In giving, we receive. If we're not inspired, the best thing you can do is, as a tapasya, you go out and inspire someone else. And you will find that you'll become more inspired like that. I'm not inspired because my Gurudev is not here. So let me inspire someone else in what my Gurudev has said. And if you do that, you will feel your Gurudev's inspiration in your heart more than if he was sitting right in front of you. Right now, in speaking to you, I feel closer to Prabhupada than I would if he was sitting right in front of me. Because although I am not much, I am very small, I am a neophyte, with whatever little I remember that he has told me, I'm trying to inspire you with that. And Prabhupada's reciprocating by inspiring me. Krishna will reciprocate more when you give than when you're always thinking work of taking. Huh? You be the association. You give association. Anyone can do that. Whatever little you have. If you know one verse of Bhagavad Gita, tell everyone you know. And you'll become a pure devotee. You don't have to know more than that one verse. Huh? I remember one devotee was telling me that he went to a temple, and the only thing the temple president knew was that you're not this body. Because in the old days, Prabhupada would just, you know, you'd be a devotee for 2 weeks and he'd say, go open a temple. Right? So this one devotee, all he knew was you're not this body. He went to a foreign country. Prabhupada sent him. Oh, you know German? Okay, you go to this country. We went to a church country. In every class, he would just talk about how you're not this body. Chant Hare Krishna, you're not this body. Chant Hare Krishna, you're not this body. Every class, he would just say, you're not this body. You know, you're not this body. You're really not your body. This body is a lump of ignorance. You're actually the soul. You're not this body. So you should chant Hare Krishna. And they all became very advanced devotees. And he became very advanced devotee. Huh? Of course, gradually you learn more and more. But for so many months, he only knew one thing. But because he was so anxious to tell everybody that one thing every day, his Guru Maharaj was constantly inspiring him and enthusing him. Huh? So actually, if you want to know how our congregation of devotees will be ecstatic, don't wait for me. Don't wait for Krishna to come down on his bird carrier Garuda. But you already have everything right there within your heart. You be representative of Guru. Whoever you are. Grihe tako vani tako sadahari bole tako. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara goi guru hoi tare desh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, whoever you are, whether you're a grihasta or a sannyasi, whoever you meet, inspire them in the chanting of the holy name of God. Let us come together. Mach chitta mat kata prana bodhiyanta parasparam. When we come together, let us be anxious to inspire one another. Not simply anxious to be inspired, but anxious to inspire. If I dance nicely, I'm inspiring everybody else to dance nicely. If I hear attentively, I'm inspiring everybody else to hear attentively. If I chant attentively, I'm inspiring everyone to chant attentively. What you do has great influence in the lives of others, whoever you are. Not only the most advanced, but even the most insignificant. If a person who's most insignificant is dancing nicely, chanting japa attentively, listening to class, then the more advanced devotees are thinking, my God, I'm really a rascal. I've been around 20 years and this person's 2 weeks and he's better devotee than me. I better get serious. If he's listening carefully, how much I should listen carefully? If he's dancing nicely, how much I should dance nicely? Huh? And if you've been in the movement for 20 years, everyone is thinking, I should be like him. So whatever your position is, you have a tremendous influence on everybody. And it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. If you say it with enthusiasm, if you do it with enthusiasm, you will inspire others. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you want to be a devotee and preach, one ingredient, enthusiasm. If you are not enthusiasm, you can't preach. What does enthusiasm mean? That my desire is to enthuse you. Whether I'm enthusiastic or not, I want to enthuse you. That is tapasya. Right? When I come to kirtan, it is my duty to inspire and enthuse all others. So therefore, I must chant in that way. When I come to class, I must enthuse and inspire others, whether I'm giving class or hearing class. Maharaj Parikshit, he was sitting listening. And Shukadeva Goswami said, I don't know what to say really, but because you're so anxious to hear, I'm so enthusiastic to speak to you that Krishna's speaking through me. Shukadeva Goswami gave all credit to Maharaj Parikshit. that your enthusiasm to hear is what's drawing out all this nectar from my mouth. The hearer is equally as important as the speaker. If the hearer is enthusiastic, the speaker becomes enthusiastic. And if the speaker is enthusiastic, the hearer becomes more enthusiastic. So whatever our position is in Krishna consciousness, we should be aspiring to enthuse others, to inspire others. Not just waiting for our guru to come. Huh? That's not our position. Waiting. We must come together in this mood. Then Vaikuntha, the transcendental spiritual world, will manifest whenever we come together. Responsibility is on us, each and every one of us. And a sincere devotee will accept that responsibility, that I am the keeper of my brother and sister. Have any things to say in this
wedding? No. My own personal experience with Srila Prabhupada, after Srila Prabhupada passed away, I pretty much felt like an orphan. I really felt completely left alone and completely lost. But that gave me more impetus to remember. And I did not have much understanding of his instruction, but there was one instruction that I understood, that I had to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds every day and follow the four regulative principles. And I feel that this is because every day I would pick up my beads, no matter how I felt. And I thought, Prabhupada, my spiritual master, he has told me that if I just chanted my 16 rounds every day and followed the four regulative principles, then I would become a pure devotee. So the association of the spiritual master doesn't stop with the physical presence of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is always here to watch over us, definitely.
Away from us, and he said that he is living in a hard way, or to the instructions of Krishna, then there should not be any problem. But the honesty should come to a person if he knows what guru takes, as we explained. Such a difficult thing that a disciplined person like Bharat Maharaj cannot do it on his own. That means, what my spiritual master must be taking for a person to take him back to Godhead? If I have that vision, what my Guru Maharaj takes? Where he picks me from? Where I was? If I know that, what pains he is taking me? Honesty will break down. How to go about it? How much Guru Maharaj takes for the disciple to pick him from the material flood and put him on the Krishna consciousness, which is absolute different world, absolute different consciousness, absolute different understanding of the world.
The basic principle of devotional service is humility. And the real test of humility is to the degree we are grateful. A person who is proud is not grateful even when he's giving something really great. He thinks, I deserve it. I deserve more even. But at least I'm getting this much. Huh? Humility means I do not deserve anything. Humility means I'm so sinful, I deserve nothing but torture and hell. But Gurudev is so kind, he is so merciful, that he's reaching all the way down to my degraded, sinful platform to pick me up. If you can simply have this one quality of being grateful, then Gurudev can take you back to Godhead. That his mercy is causeless. When you do not deserve something, but it's given anyway, you are grateful. If you're a beggar in the street, and someone gives you a nice ladu, you are very grateful. Correct? But if you go to a sweet shop and give 10 rupees and someone gives you a ladu, are you grateful to him? Why? Because you think, I deserve it. I paid. I paid what's required. I deserve it. So there's no gratefulness. You just take it. So in the same way, the spiritual master is giving the supreme sweet ball of Krishna's mercy. If you think you deserve it, you will not be grateful. And you will not reciprocate from your heart. Therefore, we have to cultivate humility in our life. We should feel that I deserve nothing, but it is causelessly descending upon me by the infinite compassion of Guru and Krishna. So you're talking about being honest. Real honesty means to accept the fact that you deserve nothing. To accept the fact that you're insignificant. To accept the fact that it is only by the causeless mercy of Sri Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas that I have any hope in my life. That is real honesty. Because it is a fact. No matter how much pious karma you have, you do not deserve the mercy of Krishna. Huh? The mercy of Krishna is causeless. Good karma reaps some pleasurable material result. Bad karma reaps some bad, painful material result. But Krishna's mercy is something that is eternal. It is full of knowledge and it is full of bliss. What can you do to deserve that? Just be grateful for one who is giving it to you. That's all you can do. Huh? And how do you show your gratitude? Through service. If I'm grateful to someone, I'll do anything for that person. Okay, so you should be grateful because Mahaprabhu has personally cooked prasad tonight. out of his causeless mercy. The cooks didn't come, his brother didn't come, his sister-in-law didn't come. So with his own loving hands, he has prepared the prasad this evening. So we should be very grateful and accept his causeless mercy upon us and take nice prasad to our full satisfaction. And in doing so, glorify their Lordship Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And in love, cry for the help of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Hari Bol.